We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
I love the fact that we get to do this as a family together. You know, I was thinking about this morning, and kids, you can plug into this, but I also want to catch the attention of those with a little bit more age around you. I was thinking about that phrase, and I put it on a slide, and it says there, right at the end, it says, "It is finished." You know, when Jesus was on the cross, the sixth thing that he shouted out was, "It is finished." And you think, well, what was finished? What was the thing that he shouted out? "It is finished" is actually translated correctly. "I've paid in full." Everything that was needed to be paid, I've paid in full. Some of you are not that excited about the fact that he's paid it in full. Have you ever done this for somebody? Have you ever been so generous that when you go grab your coffee next time, you actually pay for the coffee behind you? You say, "The coffee that's coming behind me, I want to pay for." And suddenly that person gets to the till and they're like, "Can I grab a whatever?" And then they probably add 10 coffees and you think, "Oh my gosh, why did I decide to be so generous?" But as they get there, the woman at the till or the man at the till says, you don't have to pay because it's already paid. And we look with perplexities thinking, why was this paid? Because the generosity of somebody else before you paid the price that you should have paid. You see, we need to understand someone always pays. Someone always pays. If I come to your house and I break your lamp, you will either full of grace go to me, "Heath, it's not a problem. No problem." You might moan at me when I've left. See that clumsy guy? But somebody pays. Either I pay, I give you the money for the lamp. You pay, you buy another lamp. Somebody pays. And I am thankful that Jesus paid. That Jesus paid a price that you and me could not pay. A perfect sacrifice. All the perfect people in this place, please raise your hand. Nobody. We're not perfect. You know, yesterday, Phoebe, we had the opportunity to do something I've never done before with my son. Leah mentioned a few weeks back and said to Noah, "Do you want to go and do the park run?" How many of you have ever done the park run? Can I encourage you on a Monday night, if you want to reach that status of 5 kilometers, see Dino. He is going to gather you together. And I sense a couch to 5K coming. So if you've never got off the couch, this is your moment to get off the couch and progress to 5K. And maybe we can all run the park run one week together. But suddenly Noah's standing there and I'm walking down with him and we have this picture and we're about to enter this race. And I'm thinking, what is my role in this race today for Noah? I know that I can run that race at a certain speed. I know that I can pretty much probably finish, if I'm doing well, in the top 50. I know I can do that. But in that moment, my journey today is not to run so I can finish. It's so that he can finish well. My journey is that, can I run a race that brings others on the journey that actually encourages them to finish? And so at the beginning, I'm standing there with Noah and I'm like, "Noah, we got to warm up." So he kind of goes like this. I'm like, "Okay, we're warm." So that was good. He's like, "There's a lot of people here." I said, "No, we need to stretch." So he goes, "Oh, we're stretched. We're ready to go." And we begin. And in amongst that crowd, I don't know, it's a bit like life. As I'm running through all those people, there is confusion. There is so many people running in so many directions. From my height, I can kind of see. But from his height, all he can see is the backsides in front of him, looking at these things. And some of them are not a pretty sight in Lycra. You know, you could get your head stuck. But hey, and as we're running and we're beginning to jog, keep it clean. And as we're running, suddenly there's a bit of open space. But I can still see further. I'm like, Noah, there's bollards coming up. Watch out for the bollards. "Noah, how's your pace going?" He's like, "I think it's good, Dad." And he's talking to me all the time. I'm like, "How are you feeling?" "Great." And all of a sudden, something happens in the middle of the race that I'm thinking, we've just passed these two ladies who are talking. I'm like, "We've come to run a race, woman. We're not here to talk about what's going on the weekend." And we pass them and we get past them and we squeeze through, and Noah suddenly announces, "Dad, I need a wee." I'm like, "Buddy, not in the middle of a race. race. I felt like saying to him, if you're a real runner, just wet yourself and keep going. Just let it go. But I knew that wasn't going to happen. You know, God's okay with detours that need to take place. And suddenly we pull off to the side and Noah does a wee in full view of the rest of the race. We had a few cheers. And I said to Noah, you see those two ladies in front? We got to catch them now. We got to catch them. So we lost a bit of time. We got back on that race and we kept on running. And all throughout, I'm trying to coach him, thinking, oh, I'm a coach now. I'm trying to help him through this moment. How's the pace? We get halfway. We're clocking just over 15, maybe 16 minutes. And he's talking to me normally as if we're just having a conversation at home. I said, is there more gas in the tank, Noah? He's like, there's more gas in the tank. I'm like, let's go for this thing. And you know what happened? Suddenly our kilometer time started to just come down. And we ended our last kilometer running 5:08. I was like, Noah, we are going. This is incredible. Leah nearly missed it because she thought they'd never be finished at this time. I never thought we'd be finished at this time. But you know what? We presented an opportunity before Noah to run a race. And Jesus today presents an opportunity before you and says, are you willing to run the race that I have set before you? You know the race he ran, it says in Hebrews, he did it for the prize at the end. Jesus said, I endured the cross for the joy that was set before me. Do you know who the joy is or what the joy is? It's you. You are the joy that Jesus endured the cross for. You were the joy that he was faithfully obedient because of. You were the joy that he was because he persisted. You're the joy. You're the person he laid down his life for. You, sitting right there. Change it. Say, I am the person that Jesus laid down his life for. I am worth him laying his life down for. There are people in this room that think you're not worth anything. Well, that is a lie from the pit of hell, because you are worth our Savior and our King, the creator of the universe, laying his life down. The person next to you, they may not lay their life down for you, but he did. Who do you really want to lay your life down? I want Jesus. But he invites you to a race this morning. And he says, are you going to run this thing with hope and with a future? Are you going to run this race just with dismissal of, well, it doesn't really matter. I kind of just, if we get there, we get there. If we don't, we don't. It doesn't really matter. 4 people didn't get there yesterday. 1 just decided, their words were, ah, forget this, I'm going for a coffee. And they literally walked off to the coffee shop. If this is the truth, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if Jesus really did die for you, and he really did rise again, then that means there is a hope and a future. If he didn't, your existence is pointless. Your life is pointless. Your self-esteem is pointless. Your actions are pointless. You're pointless. It doesn't really matter. But I believe it does matter. And if this is the truth, then how are you going to run this race that's set before you? Those of you who are married, what are you going to do with your marriage? What are you going to do with it? Honestly, quit avoiding the issues and start dealing with them. God is not afraid of where you're at. What I think really disturbs is when we're not prepared to actually say, okay, what am I going to deal with? Parents, honestly, we need to look at our kids and say, how have we journeyed through them? The responsibility of teaching Jesus to them is not on that 3-person kids' church, great karaoke moment in the beginning. It's on us. We birthed them. We birthed them. We did all the stuff before, went through the endurance of the labor, and we birthed them. I say we because we're in this together in those moments. I'm not built for labor. Never have been and never will be. Maybe today you're in this place and you're a single. Maybe you're a widow and you're a single. Hold on to the fact that Jesus is that person that steps into your life and is that husband or that wife for you that comes and never leaves you and comforts you. Maybe you're a single in this place and you think, will I ever be married again? Will I ever get married? Don't chase that, chase Him. Keep your eyes on Him because He will provide what is needed. Run a race of purity. Young people, hold on and protect your purity. Hold on to it, because I can promise you this, if you do, it will cause you less issues. You'll have something. If maybe you've given that away, do you know what? God can restore. God is the restorer. He's the healer. He loves you that much. He laid down His life for you. It is enough what He did on Easter Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. While we are all not sure what's going on Saturday, He's sorting some stuff out. And on Sunday, He's risen. And on that truth, we build our lives. On that truth, we base our Christianity. Everything else pales into insignificance. Don't you stand with me? R.S. Stowe said this, "Here is the glory of the gospel. I do not find the most striking prophecies of the future life in any mere words of Scripture. I find them in the fact that He who had the power of miracle in His hands surrendered Himself to death, that afterward He might open the kingdom of heaven to all believers." What's my response if this is the truth? We're not changing the historical fact that Jesus died on the cross. He did. This event brings all humanity purpose, existence, and hope. Love came down and dwelt among us. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom and revelation today to understand what the cross truly is. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that Jesus came and He died and He rose again. And I thank You, Jesus, that You said, "I must go and send another one, Comforter." So I pray right now, revelation from You, Holy Spirit, into our lives. That this is not an event. This is not just to mark another day. This is a life-changing moment. This defines history. Jesus, I thank You for being obedient, for being faithful. I thank You, Jesus, that You loved us that much. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Can we give Jesus a shout of praise? Amen. Jesus, we celebrate You. We thank You that You're risen King. And we will not be silent about that. We will not be pushed down. We will not be trodden. In Jesus' name.